Good morning, Sunrise Church. My name is Pastor Anthony Riley, and I'm so glad you're joining me online this morning. So wherever you're being from, I want to say welcome. I'm glad that you're here. You know, we began this new series last week entitled Winning the War from Within. And this is going to be a five-week series, but I'm so glad that you're already leaning into this. You know, Pastor Steve launched this off last week, and he talked about doubting. And you must understand, as Christians, we're going to doubt. We're going to have questions. And it's okay to have those questions or those doubts. However, it's what you do with them makes all the difference. Those questions should lead you more into relationship with Jesus Christ. And the more and more you ask those questions of him, the deeper and deeper you go in Christ. So we're going to continue this series entitled Winning the War from Within. And today's topic is addictions. Now, I know when I said addictions, your mind already raced to alcoholism and drug abuse. Now, those are some addictions, but they're broader than that. Some of us are addicted to food. Some of us are addicted to time and technology. So I need you to lean into this topic because I think I might be in your ballpark. So to get started, I first want to give a definition on what addiction is. Addiction is a habitual need, whether it's psychological or physiological, for a particular substance or behavior or activity. Now, if you're honest with yourself, there are some behaviors and activities that you know you shouldn't be doing. And God is saying, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to continue to wrestle with me? Or are you going to allow me to work that out in your life? You know, some of you are addicted to anger or control issues. Some are addicted to gambling and social media. And others are addicted to, as we said, alcohol and drugs. But some addictions are seen, and then there are those that are unseen. Some of the unseen addictions is depression or loneliness or sexual addiction. Or what about pornography? The list can go on and on, and this is not an exhaustive list. So don't get wrapped up in that. But if you tell me that you're not battling with anything, then man, you need to talk. Because 1 Corinthians 10:12 says this. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. Fall, pride comes before the fall. And what Paul is saying, if you think you have it all together and think you got your life all in check, I think you just fail. So let's look through the lens of that. And if you're going to walk with me through the lenses of addiction, if you have your Bibles or a Bible app, I need you to turn to Romans chapter 7. Here's where my assignment is. I love this text. I love the book of Romans. And we have some interesting things we're going to learn there. But I want to bring you up to speed of who is the writer of Romans. The writer is the Apostle Paul. But Paul wasn't always Paul. He was also known as Saul. Paul was a devout Jew. He believed in the traditions of the Jewish faith, and he was all in. You know, he was trained and groomed by the best. And he was described in the book as being a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee to the law. He was so devoted to this, he even persecuted Christians before his conversion. He was so zealous for his faith that he went to the Jewish community and said, hey, I need you to give me an edict. I need you to give me some paper so that I can go outside Jerusalem and bring more Christians to you so that we can try them, persecute them, and possibly kill them. This is that Paul before he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. We're going to talk further about the life of Paul as I go and dive into this message. But I just want to give you a glimpse of the individual who wrote this book by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So here it is, the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 7, Paul begins by explaining law versus grace. And what Paul is saying, in Christ, you are now covered in grace. Law has no hold on you. But once you're in Christ, it doesn't mean that all the drama and problems stops. It usually just begins. The more you come to Christ, the more you give your life to him, there's going to be these daily struggles, these daily battles. But what Paul is saying, be of good cheer. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for you and I. So as we begin to dive into the book of Romans, I want to let you know that there is hope for you. Your sins are covered by grace. And this grace was made possible only through the death of Jesus Christ. And because he has risen in victory, you and I can have the hope and the help of him now. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be, again, in Romans chapter 7. I'm going to begin with verse 14. And this is what it says. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not understand. I just hate keep doing it. Now I know you're like me. I had to read this over and over and over again because I'm like, what is Paul talking about? Where is he going with this? But let's pick up in verse 16. And if I do what I want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin that's living in me. Well, Paul is saying, I have this struggle. I am wrestling with this thing. And the more I want to do good, I can't do good. It seems that it has a hold on me. It has control over me. And he's wondering, no, how do I get out of this? He's frustrated and irritated because he can't quite win. And then it says in verse 18, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. He says, I want to do good. Every time I take two steps forward, it appears that I'm taking three steps back. You may feel that way today. You may feel, you know, I'm in Christ. I'm doing things right Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But here comes Thursday, and it feels like I'm starting all over again. If that's you, I want you to know that you're in great company. It says in verse 19, for I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, I just keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who's doing it, but it's the sin that's living in me. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is always present around me. Paul is saying, I just can't get it right. Every time I go this way, there's evil. Every time I go that way, there's evil. Now, he's not talking about evil within. He's talking about his fleshly desires and thoughts and how he sees life. But I want you to see the hope in this, because look at verse 22. It says, for in my inner being, I delight in the law. But I seen another law working in my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin. Then he says this, O wretched man that I am, who can rescue me from this body, this subject of death? And this is key for you and I. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right there, Paul says, I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to keep struggling with this because of Jesus Christ. And I'm no longer condemned because he rescued me from my addiction. And then he goes on to say, so then I find myself in my mind a slave to God's law, but also find myself a slave to my sinful nature. But then I love Romans 8, verse 1. It says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set me free. I want you to know, you cannot win on your own. If you're going to have victory and you're going to win the battle from within, it is only through Jesus Christ. There is an internal battle that's happening in your life. But unless you hand it over to him, nothing moves and nothing happens. So I have a couple of questions for you today. The first question is, how is your spiritual walk? Do you find yourself battling within? Do you find yourself kind of experiencing World War III? As you ponder on these questions, I want you to approach this topic with two perspectives. I'm going to approach this topic first addressing those who are battling the addictions. You're hanging on by a thread. But I also want to talk to those who are actually crossed over the line, and that's in addiction right now. I know, again, when I said addiction, many of you raised your eyebrows up. Many of your blood pressures went up. I'm not an addict. But again, I want to point you to the definition of addiction. It is habitual needs, whether psychological or physical, for a particular purpose, for a substance, a behavior, or an activity. The truth is, Jesus said, in this life, you and I will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome them. But the truth is, many of us don't want to acknowledge that we're having problems and struggles. Many of us just want to back up and say, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. You know, we act, right? We're professional actors. You know, we show up on scene and we put on this makeup to hide the pain. We put on these fancy clothes to conceal the hurt. We buy things to mask the guilt. And we walk on stage and we give a great performance. But the truth is this, I know you're struggling and I know you're battling. But if you're going to win the battle within when it pertains to addiction, you must first be honest with yourself. What I love about Romans chapter 7 is Paul allows us to lean into what he's going through. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the Paul who wrote over half the New Testament. This is the Paul that had numerous shipwrecks. This is the Paul who was beaten and bruised and thrown into prison many of times. But yet and still, in this text, he's still battling something from within. And what I love about this text is we don't know what the struggle is. He just gives us a glimpse of the battle, what's happening within. But then he shows us how you and I can gain victory in this. And, you know, before I became a full-time pastor and all those things, I used to serve in the military. And I had the honor of going overseas to the Middle East 3 times. And before going there, we had to, what we call, get trained in warfare. We had to go to this location where we had to get trained on maneuvers and tactics. And we had to learn the tools of the enemy and learn how we can win the battle. And in that time, we were assigned what we call a ranger buddy or war buddy. This person's responsibility was to be with you in the war zone. And if you fall, he or she is supposed to pick you up and you guys keep running. Now, in this training scenarios, we were learning the tools and creating methods and maneuvers to win. But it's much different when you're in war, because anything can happen in war. You can be surprised in war, but the training helped us to recognize when the enemy was coming and have a countermeasure for when they attacked. That's what the Word of God is all about. The Word of God is allowing us to inhale all of him. And when times get rough, you and I have a ranger buddy, and his name is Jesus Christ. So as we begin to navigate your issues and struggles in life, I need you to remember your ranger buddy is Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 8:2. Again, it says, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. In Christ, victory is already ours. We're in this already not yet season of life, meaning the victory is here, but we yet have to go through something until either his second coming or we go to see him when we pass away. So as we lean into these things, I want to give you some practical steps that can help you overcome the war of addiction. The first step I want to give you is you have to ask Jesus for his power. You must understand that you're never going to win the battle on your own strength. It's going to require something greater than you. Because if you could have fixed it, you'd already fixed it. But Jesus is saying, I need you to lean into me because all power is in me. You know, I know Paul, he recognized this. How do I know he recognized it? Because look at the text. He got to the conclusion saying that, oh, wretched man that I am, who can rescue me? And then he answered his own question by saying, Jesus. So with you, you must come to the realization that you can't fix it. If there's going to be any relief from your pain and struggles or your addiction, you must give it to him. If you look behind the writings of Paul, he is in this spiritual battle, but he's slowly walking through the process of how he can win and overcome his pain and stress. So whether you're in a battle of addiction or you already crossed the line, the only way you're going to win this battle is through the power of Jesus Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, We demolish arguments and every intention that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Paul is saying you need to take every thought captive. You need to wrestle with that thing. You need to come to grips with understanding you can't handle it. Because as you take it to Christ, he will take care of the rest. The key to winning a battle is not only just your mindset, it's an attitude. You have to be aggressive in knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord and that you can lean in on him and he can help you through this battle. But you must understand it's a day-to-day walk. It's a day-to-day process. And the more you walk with him, the more he gives you the power to move forward, because the truth is life is going to happen. Trials are going to happen. Stresses are going to happen. But are you listening to yourself or others? Or are you leaning into the word of God who has all the answers? That's what Paul did. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. So if you're going to win this battle of addiction and bring it back to a place of peace, you must first admit that you cannot handle it on your own, and you must ask him for the power. This is the second thing I want you to grab hold of. You need to acknowledge and admit the problem. Many of us are losing the fight because you just don't want to admit it. Many of you are living in denial, and you refuse to say that I have a problem. The world says you need to be strong and very courageous, and you're not supposed to be weak. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. Many of you have these weaknesses and these struggles, and if you don't deal with them, you're going down the wrong road. The truth is, many of you are battling loneliness, depression, anxiety, sexual orientation, and many of you are battling drama. Oh yes, many of you are addicted to drama. That's why you love to watch those reality shows. Housewives of Orange County, Basketball Wives, Love and Hip Hop, the Kardashians. And as you watch these shows, they intrigue you and they amaze you and you love their lifestyle. But then you also wonder, why is my house so dramatic? And why is it so crazy? Maybe it's possible that you are addicted to drama. You need to take the first step. You need to understand that you can't fix it. And if you're going to recover from any addiction, you must admit that you have a problem. I love Ephesians 5, verse 11. It says this: have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedience do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated comes to light. The only way you're going to overcome your addiction is you have to admit it. You have to take it out of the closet and put it in front of God, who is love and who is light in Christ. And there you can have those discussions, and there you can ask those important questions to him, and there you can ask him, how can I be a better man or better woman in Christ? Paul says, illuminate and expose the struggle, expose the addiction, and then that starts the process to recovery. How do you win? You need to give it to Jesus. Again, if you look back at the passages I read, Paul didn't stay in that drama. He didn't stay in denial. He wrestled with it. He identified the issues and the struggles. And he said, you know, grace be to God in Jesus Christ. So if you're going to win, you have to acknowledge it. You have to admit it. And then you need to ask God for his power. So the first step, you need to ask Jesus for his power. The second step, I need you to acknowledge and admit the problem. But this is the third step. Don't let failure derail you. If you have fallen, stand up, dust yourself, and keep moving. I know it gets hard. I know times, in times you want to just give up, but I want to encourage you, do not quit. Don't let your past derail you. Don't let anything derail you. Throughout Paul's journey, he remained committed by his faith, and he said, I'm going to keep moving forward in him. He experienced many battles in his life, but he kept moving forward, and he did not give up. Romans 8 again, 1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. At the end of the day, Paul looked up and said, Jesus, I need your help. And Jesus responded. And if you're battling eternally, I have great news for you. If you are struggling, that means you're still in the fight. Now, I'll be very worried if there was no struggle within. That means you already gave up. But if there is this intense struggle and battle that you have within, that means you're trying to figure it out. That means you're trying to move forward. I'm going to encourage you to stay in the fight and keep going. But on the other hand, what if you are someone that you feel you lost the battle and you got derailed and you're continuing on this bus that never stops? You have to get off the bus, but you also need to recognize that I have a problem. Now, for the most part, many people don't choose addiction. Some people were groomed and ushered into this lifestyle. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. Let me explain. I spent 25 years in law enforcement, and I've talked to many people, many struggles, many battles. Many of them didn't just jump into addiction. Some at an early age were forced into this way of life. What do I mean by that? Some people were sexually abused as a child. I've spoken to some who were exposed to drugs at an early age by their parents or their family member. I have spoken to people who has mental and social issues because their mother is strung out on heroin and now they're trying to pick the pieces up and get back into the fight. I've witnessed babies being raised in an environment where both parents just don't care. And instead of taking care of the child, they're taking care of their own needs, and the child is left to fend for themselves. I could go deeper, but I think you got the point. Because in these experiences, they tried to numb the pain. They're trying to escape from the issues and trials in life. And many of them run to alcohol. Many of them run to injecting themselves. Many of them smoke themselves too, because they're looking for just a sense of freedom. And if that's you, and you experience that traumatic event, first, I want to say, I understand. Secondly, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And in him, you can have the victory, but you have to admit it. You have to acknowledge that you're hurting, and you have to give it to him. Only then will you be set free. Now, on the other perspective, we have those who actually chose addiction. They said, you know what, I tried that thing, whether it was alcohol, whether it was substance abuse, whether it was pornography, which led to some darkened things in life. I'll try that. And if that's you, you made a poor choice. But again, you don't have to stay there either. You can also recognize that you have a problem and you can get the help that you need. That's why I love Romans chapter 7. It's interesting that Paul didn't identify the struggle. And I think I like that, because you and I like to categorize our struggles. We like to justify our habits. You know, we say things like, I know I overeat, but at least I don't do drugs. Yeah, I know I shop a lot, but I only buy clothes when they're on sale. Yeah, I know that man or that woman, they treat me wrong, but it's better than being alone. When we're struggling with issues, we start rationalizing the lesser evils, but in the sight of God, all these things are off limits. Before Paul turned to Christ, he was arrogant. He was prideful. He lived a reckless life until Jesus knocked him off his beast. I'm praying that God doesn't have to knock you off your beast. Because it's in that place where you got to do some, you have to do some soul searching. When Paul was knocked off his beast, he was blinded by the light. God gave him instruction to a man named Ananias. And there he began to walk through the process of being healed in Christ. Again, if you're on the bus, I need you to get off at the next stop, because if you don't, you're headed for destruction. Now, many people try all these different gimmicks, right? These different programs. And some programs are good. And a program that I find okay is AA. This is a 12-step program to help somebody into sobriety. And while many lives have been helped through the 12-step program, I have always been uncomfortable with the program's vagueness about the nature of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power of God. The truth is, victory, recovery, and freedom is only found in Jesus. To bring these words, the Apostle Paul, to life, I want you to watch this video of my friend Tiffany. Let's check it out.
Hi, my name is Tiffany, and I am a faithful believer in Jesus Christ who struggles with drug and alcohol dependency. You know, when you grow up, you don't think you're gonna be a drug addict. It just started out being, you know, weekend fun, right? A little bit of marijuana, some beer, it's not a big deal. As you go down the line, my life just started spiraling out of control. To stop being fun, it started being a habit, one I couldn't kick. I think the real struggle began when I was in my younger 20s, after I had my second child. I had a boyfriend who dealt drugs, and I was using a lot. I was getting to be in a really dark, dark place where I was numb. The boyfriend that I had gave me a Bible, and he said, "Hey, take this." He said, "Maybe it'll help you." As I read it more night after night, something was changing inside of me. Being a drug addict, there's always like a battle going on. It's not that I wanted to do drugs every day. I didn't want to do drugs every day. I was weak. Being an addict took so much from me, took relationships. My kids who love me so much, who needed their mom so much, most of the time were left at grandparents' houses because I was too busy using. I got clean, and at that time, a friend of mine, he's like, "I have all these drugs." He just handed me this bag, and he's like, "You should, you know, use it, try it." I didn't even know what to say, right? I've been clean for probably like 7 days. I was feeling good. I was coming out of it. I took the drugs, but I didn't use them. But I went to my house, and I put them in a drawer, and this battle started, I think, right then. You could do this one last time. You could do it, and nobody will know. You don't have to share it with anybody. Just do it. And there was a part of me who said, "Don't. You came so far." I was so struggling at that moment. I really was, that I was like, "You know what? I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to go take a shower, and I'll deal with it when I come out." I don't know what happened while I was in that shower, but I broke. I just started crying. I cried, and I dropped down to my knees, and I cried. And when I was down there on the bottom of that shower crying out for God's help, while he was there, I felt an overwhelming sense of peace come over me. And I heard a voice in my head just say, get up, it's done. And I did. I got up, I dried my eyes off, I went to my room, I picked up those drugs, and I flushed them down the toilet. And like I used to say before, I wish my testimony ended right there, because I felt like it would have been so much stronger if I was like, "And that was it, and it's been me and him ever since." But unfortunately, that's not where it ends. And I think with anybody who dealt or who has had an addiction, who knows what it's like to be an addict, knows that it's a struggle. It's a battle every day to stay clean. So what happened is I started snowballing once again. After God had gave me so much, how did I get back there? I remember that one part of scripture where God will never leave you or forsake you, and I had to believe that God's not a liar. And I think that's what I loved about Sunrise so much, is that right away when I got here, I met a woman who sort of took me under her wing, and I shared with her the things that I was going through, the doubt that I had, and she reassured me through scripture that God loves me. At the time, I met Pastor Cliff. He led Celebrate Recovery, and he said, "Hey, I have Celebrate Recovery. Do you want to try it?" So I did. I went to Celebrate Recovery, and it was the best thing I think that ever happened to me. So I've been clean and sober for 7 years now. This June will be 8. There was a time in my life where there was such darkness and chaos that I couldn't even find anything to be happy about. And every day, my heart is filled with gratitude that God gave me my life back. And life is good. Well, life is good.
Wow, what a testimony. Tiffany, I want to thank you for sharing your heart with us today. As she was speaking, one verse that popped up in my mind was this, Psalms 68, verse 6. He heads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious life is sun-scorched land. The truth is you have a choice. You have a choice to give it to Jesus. But at the end of the day, the choice is yours. If you surrender to him, he will help you overcome your addiction and lead you to victory. So remember, the first step is simply this. You need to ask Jesus for his power. Secondly, you need to acknowledge and admit the problem. Third, don't allow failure to derail you. But this is the one I really want you to lean into. I need you to remove and replace. I need you to remove those things that's not of God. I need you to replace them with the things that is of God. Those past habits, hurts, and hangups, you need to leave them right there, and you need to pick up the things of God. Lamentations 3:40 says this, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord." He wants you to look at them. He wants you to examine them. And once you understand that it's not of God, you need to throw them away and lean in to him. And whether you're battling addictions or already down the road, I need you to identify these habits and let them go, release them. You know, maybe you need to change your circle of influence and set up safe boundaries. Let's look at the life of Paul. When Paul was converted, he had to leave his circle of influence. He left all of his Jewish friends. And he went to something place. He put up boundaries. Next thing you do is remove yourself from unhealthy circumstances and create new environments. After Paul removed himself from the influence, he actually moved to another region. He went to Arabia for 3 years, where it was just him and God. And he was learning the things of God. Then finally, maybe you need to remove your unhealthy friendships and create new godly friendships. When Paul returned, he didn't go back to his old crew. He didn't go back to his old friends. He began to lean on God's people. He began to surround himself with the apostles, God's people. And if you're going to move forward and let this addiction go, you need to remove and replace. So I just want to challenge you to just take one step. The first step is the hardest. But every step after that, it gets easier. Why? Because the more you draw to him, the more he draws to you. So what is your addiction today? What are you battling today? What do you need to place at the feet of Jesus? What is your first step? And in a moment, for those who don't know Jesus, that is your first step. I want you to get to know him. I want you to lean into him because, as I said, nothing is going to change in your life until you give it to him. And in a moment, I'm going to lead you into a simple prayer. But I want to give you our analogy here at Sunrise Church. It's something called the ABCs of coming to Jesus. You must admit that you have a problem. You have to admit that you can't fix it. You have to admit that you're broken and you're shattered. When you do that, then you need to believe in one person, Jesus Christ. As you believe in him, you confess it to him by faith. But then I also need you to commit. I need you to stand with him and turn away from your old ways and follow him in your new ways. If you don't know him, now's the time for me to lead you in a simple prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We're thankful that you came, that you took death by its grip, and on the cross, our sins were paid. Someone here is asking for forgiveness. Someone wants to believe in you. I pray, as they silently pray, that they accept you as their Lord and Savior, that they give everything over to you, that they will no longer let this burden hold them back. They will walk in the new things of you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer in your heart, I want to be the first to say congratulations, because now you begin to move forward in Jesus. The enemy is going to try to get in your mind and say, it's not true, but it is. Now you just take another step. And I want to encourage you to take this step. Whether you just received Christ or you know him, we always need to take a next step in him. So I need you to text the number on the screen. Are you plugged in? Are you in a small group? Are you volunteering for the church? Have you taken rooted? If you haven't taken rooted, that's a great place to start. You have to get in the things of God. Because the more you get in the things of God, the more you leave the past behind. So, as we wrap this up, if you're going to overcome addictions, you have to give it to Jesus. You have to acknowledge and admit that you have a problem. And if you get derailed, pick yourself off, dust yourself off, get back in the fight. But most importantly, you have to remove those things that's not of God. You have to replace them with the things of God. And if you follow these steps, you will have a victorious life in Christ. Be blessed.